Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience and those tuning in online around the world. We're glad that you all could be with us as well. It's funny, our next guest actually joined me in February of this year as we were still in year 16. Now he's back as we're celebrating our 17th year. But A. Shane Etter is always welcome to Conversations Live. He's an author who's been able to write some great books over the years, including the newest book we're going to be talking about today called World of Rage. If you guys are not following Shane online, well, of course, we'll let you guys know where to find them, but also what inspired the new book and also how to get your own copy of it. Shane, welcome back to Conversations Live.
Thank you. The third time, I think. My goodness, I can't believe we've been together that many times on here.
It's been a while. In fact, twice this year, and so it's great because we were talking about Devil's Sympathy at the beginning of this year in February, and now here you are with the new book, World of Rage, which we're going to get into. I want to talk about this experience because for those who don't know about your journey, Shane, it all began with Bottom Dwellers. Can you believe, though, the books you've been able to write since that book came out?
No. I started, as you know, and you remember this, my friend, I started writing Bottom Dwellers because I had had a stroke, and I started writing just to improve my brain. I had always read that the best thing you can do for your brain is to read. Well, I figured, I inferred from that writing probably would be even better if you could do it. So I started writing to improve my brain, and that was the only reason. An interesting thing happened. A dozen pages into Bottom Dwellers, I knew it was good enough to be published. Not saying it was the best thing I ever read, far from it, but it was far from the worst thing I ever read either. I knew it was good enough to be published, and little did I know that 10 years later here, I'd be working on my ninth novel, and my last one garnered me a nomination for Georgia Author of the Year, Devil's Sympathy did, and so apparently I'm doing something right is all I'll say.
Right. And you are, Shane. And I have to say, as I've been able to follow you over the years and read your books, you know, Shane and I are friends. But Shane is also a very talented author, and the two don't necessarily go together. And so I always tell people, you know, when they ask me about you, Shane, I say, you know, Shane's a great guy, but he's also an amazing storyteller. And I mean that sincerely, and my friends know that I wouldn't say it if it was not the way I really felt. But I before this book, Devil's Sympathy was actually, I think, my favorite. This one, I think, you know, I really enjoyed as well. I won't say it has beat Devil's Sympathy for me, but I love the way that so many different things came together in this book. But I wanted to ask you, do you feel as though you've gotten better from book to book?
Well, people ask me that all the time, which is my best book, or they'll ask me, what is my favorite? And I said, my favorite is my best. But I think as writers that our most recent book should always be our best book. I mean, when I started writing Bottom Dwellers 10 years ago, I didn't know what I was doing. I stumbled through it, and it turned out okay, and it has done well over the years. But 10 years later and not books later and working on my ninth, if I haven't improved, then I need to find something else to do is the way I look at it.
Well, look, I will say this. I think each one definitely has its own flavor. And World of Rage definitely could not be more timely. You and I were joking about this before we went on the air because I remember Shane, for those who are not following Shane, on social media, you guys can find him on Facebook and under Shane Etter. But Shane was talking about this book, World of Rage, last year and talking to us about what it was about. And at the time, it seemed like such a strange thing, right? I mean, now in 2020, nothing seems strange. So I want to ask you about that, Shane. What that's been like for you to see the idea for this book take hold and now to see where we are today.
Well, I'm going to spell it out a little more than you did. I started writing World of Rage, which is about a virus killing 99% of the people in the world a year before anyone had ever heard of COVID-19. I just got lucky, I guess, or unlucky, whatever. I came up with the idea in January of 2019, and nobody really heard of COVID-19 until at least January of 2020 and maybe February. So I started writing it.
Right.
I came up with the idea and started writing it a year before the COVID-19. And somebody today laughingly in an emoji blamed me for COVID-19. I said, so everyone, please, trust me, I had nothing to do with it. I'm not that powerful, believe me, but I did come up with the idea a year before COVID-19 raised its ugly head.
Right. And I will say, go ahead, Shane.
Well, I was just going to say World of Rage is actually not about the virus. It's the backstory for the virus is the backstory for the story, but the story is a post-apocalyptic dystopian story of survival after a major catastrophe like that. It focuses on 7 people, 4 in the United States and 3 in the UK, trying to do what they can to survive, to do what they think might end the virus and things they'll encounter on their journeys. And by that I mean starvation, cold weather, cannibals, you know, the everyday stuff that you encounter in a post-apocalyptic environment. So,
yeah. Well, we should say also this, Shane, and you and I were talking a little bit about this before we went on here, that we actually get some glimmers of some of your previous work in World of Rage. We started off this conversation talking about bottom dwellers. We're able to see, you know, the dwellers even in this book, right? I mean, you talked about the plague,
definitely.
But there's also another character that you were able to write about that has appeared in a couple of books that also makes an appearance in this one. What was it like for you to get the band back together, so to speak, to kind of bring them all together in a book like this?
That was great. I'm going to use that myself going forward. I brought the band back together. Well, I don't know. In the first book, Bottom Dwellers, again, I don't know if it was a revelation, a gift from God or whatever, but I said the dwellers in the first book took credit for the Black Plague in the 1600s or 1500s, whenever that occurred. I can't remember exactly. I wasn't a history major in college, although I have a good friend who was, and he could tell me immediately. But I attributed the Black Plague to the dwellers in the first book. And since I said in World of Rage that this new virus was a offshoot, an outgrowth of the original Black Plague, it was easy to attribute it to the dwellers now. So it just brought everything, completed the circle from Bottom Dwellers 9 books ago, 8 books ago, until this one. So,
right. Well, what a great
good thing that I have the dwellers to blame. We have the dwellers to blame for everything that goes wrong
in the world. Of course, we have to then look at the creator of the dwellers, don't we? Also, to unleash them on us, Shane.
you know how us writers are. We don't make up the stories. The stories come to us and start telling their story to us. I mean, I didn't create this. The story itself did. So I'm not going to take any blame or credit, whichever you want us to use.
Well, I think you probably should take a little credit, but we'll definitely let the reader decide. I do want to say, though, for those
maybe
who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Already having a great chat with my friend, award-winning author, A. Shane Etter. We're talking with him not only about his journey to where he got to now in 2020, but the newest book called World of Rage that's out now that is getting a lot of attention, and it is definitely a book that's timely. Now, you mentioned, of course, history was not maybe a big thing for you, Shane, but definitely geography is. You know, I know personally that you like to travel. You take us on an adventure, even in this book, not only in the United States, but also outside of it. What was that like for you to bring your own passion for the world into the places that you took the characters in this book?
Well, you said one thing, history's not my thing. No, history is definitely my thing. I love history. I just don't know it as well as I would like to. But history and geography, to me, go hand in hand. And you're right, I love to travel and want to do more, and I want to write books everywhere I go and everything I experience, and I do have my favorite times of history, the Roman Empire. One of my favorite movies is Gladiator with Russell Crowe. Mm. But
yes.
History and geography, to me, is all of it. But my mentor, Jedwin Smith, who was a two-time Pulitzer nominee, told me 7 years ago, he said, try to give the reader a sense of all five senses every scene. So what I try to do is I try to take the reader wherever I am wherever the story is, wherever it's set, and usually that's somewhere I've been. I did come up with the idea of both Devil's Sympathy and World of Rage while I was on a trip visiting a friend in Oxford, England, 4 years ago. Both of my last two books, World of Rage and before that, Devil's Sympathy, both grew out of that trip to Oxford. And just because I saw a lot of the scenes where Harry Potter was filmed doesn't mean I'm going to write a Harry Potter-like book or even try and piggyback on J.K. Rowling, but it was quite interesting to see sites from Harry Potter that are older than the United States is. So,
yeah.
Yes, I love history, I love geography, and both usually play a big part in my novels, and I hope always will.
Well, there is an interesting thing in this book that I was not expecting, but maybe I should have, Shane, and I want to talk briefly with you about it. And it's something that you and I don't talk about a lot, even as friends, and that's faith. Because I think regardless of what group we're talking about in World of Rage, there is a certain, and I'll talk around this so I don't spoil it, but there is a certain reverence, I'll put it that way, that they have toward their mission. And they believe there's particular missions, you know, will lead to something, and they think that, you know, part of what they'll do there is also part of this mission. I want to talk to you about something that's in chapter 81 of the book. And for those who have the print edition, it's found on page 184. And it's a conversation between Jeanette and Aiden. And Jeanette says this to Aiden: I don't know, but I think maybe the world has already ended and we're still passing through on the way to the end. I mean, what kind of capricious and arbitrary God would let this happen? And Aiden's response is, you already know what I think. So I want to talk about that for you. What was it like for you to have faith? Because there is, even in the mission, right, they have to have a sliver of faith that they will have a positive outcome. What was it like for you to have faith almost like a character in this book?
Well, I'm a believer, and I don't think any of my books are preachy or religious, but if I'm a believer, I have to give credit to some source greater than I or the characters in the book. And boy, yeah, he is the ultimate character in any book of mine. But
yeah.
I don't outline when I write. All authors come under one or two headings: those who outline, those who don't. And I've heard that John Grisham, for instance, Mississippi's own John Grisham, and we're both from the Magnolia State, that he will write a 300-page outline for a 400-page novel. My goodness, just go ahead and kill me now if I had to do that. No. So I do remember the passage that you just read from, but Who knows how in the world that came into my mind at that second. I don't know if I was drinking coffee in the morning or wine in the evening when I wrote it.
Yeah.
And what outside influences did serve me. But nevertheless, because I don't outline and do fly by the seat of my pants, sometimes I'm not sure where I get. If y'all want something deeper than that, I apologize that I can't give it to you.
Well, let me try to go a little deeper than that. Are you more Aiden than Jeanette?
Great question. My goodness. I'm going to hedge and say a mixture of the two, I guess.
Okay. I will take the hedge. I will take the hedge. No, I mean, I think it's a legitimate question, though, as people are reading the book. to think about. I think there's also another thing that comes in this book, and that is love, which, of course, you would expect in some respect. But, you know, love in an interesting way, what you're willing to do because of it, but also what will it keep you from doing. That comes up in an interesting way for me in this book, Shane, because for some, you know, love could keep you from doing something that you know you need to do, and you don't know if you can do it because of that. And I thought that was an interesting thing, too. It's so many different little layers I find. I do have to ask you a serious question, though, because you do okay. find yourself marketing a book in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. So how have you kind of navigated the challenges?
When you put it that way, what am I doing?
That's the question. And I ask you that question for other authors out there, other individuals. You know, how have you been able to navigate and to find creative ways to do it?
Well, obviously, social media is huge. It's bigger now than it ever has been.
Yeah.
I had a book launch party. I won't say party. I shouldn't say party because it was at a coffee shop on a Saturday morning in North Georgia, scheduled, and no one showed up. Well, I shouldn't say that. My best friend and his wife showed up. That was it, two people. My previous one, I had a crowd of 20 people there, which is a good crowd.
Right.
So that was not good. But since then, like I alluded to a few minutes ago, World of Rage is doing better than in sales than any of my previous books have. And that, I think, is because I'm concentrating more on social media and doing advertising on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn everywhere I can. And it's doing better. Like I say, the start was inauspicious at that book launch, but since then it has picked up steam and has done great. So social media is worth its weight. I'll just say that.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot of authors that I've been talking to on this program the past several months, Shane, saying the same thing. Also, recording artists as well, finding creative ways to be able to have live events on Facebook and Instagram and, you know, being able to bring people together that way. And some of them I've seen bring in hundreds of people online, which I think is amazing.
Sure.
So I want to ask you this, I mean, because one of the things I respect so much about you, both as a friend and an author, is that you are always, always writing. And you share bits of that with us on social media. I want to talk about that because, you know, there are some creatives, as you know, Shane, who don't like to share before something is put out. Why did you make that decision to do it? And what has it been like for you to see the response?
My publishers, and I say I put an S on that because I've had two. I'm on my second publisher now. I can't say they ordered me to put updates out, but they suggested it strongly because they say anytime you do something, you put a passage like I do, you're referring to as the passages
right.
I'll put out, usually no more than a couple of sentences as I'm writing, generates interest so that ultimately when it does come out, you sell more. But it creates back interest as well. If I post what I think is a particularly clever passage, and I'm not that clever, but if I get lucky and do put one on, it impacts sales of books that are already out.
Yeah.
And it's from the one I'm writing. But so, yeah, publishers now basically do require you to have a social media presence for them to publish you. So,
right.
Right. Something we have to do. Mark, and writers, we want to write. That's all we want to do. We don't want to promote. We don't like selling. It's something we have to do, but we want to write. And you said it a minute ago. I do. I write every single day. I tell people, yeah, I write 365 days a year, Christmas and my birthday included. And I'm not talking about 8 hours a day. Don't think that I'm slaving away over my iPad for 8 hours, but a day does not pass that I don't write.
Yeah.
And that's been going on for 10 years now, so I'm getting a little tired.
It's a great encouragement, I think, for a lot of people, Shane, to know what they can do. And it also is a great way to stay busy in the times that we're in now, because, you know, a lot of people are navigating a new normal, and I think it's great to have that consistency and that sense of normalcy, right? Not that I would say what you write is normal, but I think writing daily.
Insulted me. I'm not sure.
No, that was a compliment. I would not want to meet any of the characters that you have written about. So I will read about them.
So
yeah,
I wouldn't either. In fact, in the book I'm writing right now, and I shouldn't call it a book until it's published. Until then, it's a manuscript. But in the manuscript I'm working on right now, and I'm a little over halfway finished with it, probably, I described the character as the way he looked is he wouldn't want to meet himself in a dark alley.
Yeah.
So,
well, I tell you, it is great to be able to see these characters come together, especially in a book like World of Rage, a book that definitely, I think, it asks a few questions, but two of them is, you know, what would you do for what you believe? And also, I think one of the big questions that the book definitely has the reader asking is, what would you do in a situation like this? Because I think that's the thing. It really is about choices. Or would you be willing to go the distance, or would you just fold up and let whatever happens? Isn't it interesting, though, in a sense, though, Shane, we're being asked that same question today?
And, Cyrus, that is – I'm so glad you asked that, because I ask that of myself all the time, that question, what would I do? And I'm not talking about in a World of Rage scenario, but every day, what would I do in a given situation? As you know from our many talks and us being friends, I was a black belt in karate before I had my stroke. Now my physical limitations don't allow me to do karate anymore. So I always wonder, though, would I be able to do what it takes to survive in a given scenario, or would I at least not give up because of my background in the martial arts? So I ask myself that question every day. So
yeah.
I'm glad you picked up on that, and I hope people can relate to that.
Think they will, Shane. And we have had another great – I tell people, when I say 30 minutes, 30 minutes sounds like such a long time. But when friends get together, it's like you look around and you think, we've been talking for 30 minutes?
I look at my watch and go, it feels like it's been 5 minutes. I mean, please.
Yeah. But I tell people, Shane, two things contribute to that. One, the fact that I actually have read the book. Second, because we do have such a good rapport with each other as friends, because it's not awkward. We're just having a conversation, and it just so happens people around the world are able to listen in.
The only awkward thing about it is we're having a conversation, and millions of people are listening. And if I think about that, it'll frighten me, so I'd rather not. But no, you ask the best questions, and you're the best interviewer, and I've done a lot of these things. You are the best I've ever known at what you're doing.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And I have to say, once again, well, thank you, Shane. I appreciate that. I want to say that even though I still think Devil's Sympathy is my favorite, this book is a close second. Let me say that. This book is a close and it has nothing to do with your writing. I just got really drawn to the characters, I think, in Devil's Sympathy. And it's so funny because when these other characters start coming up in this book, I was like, okay, I want less of this person and more of this person. But,
well, then I guess consult you before I write anything.
No. This is the book that it should have been, and I'm so glad we could discuss it. Again, everyone, A. Shane Etter has been our guest. The newest book is called World of Rage, and ironically, we could easily put 2020 on this. However, as we talked about, this story came about last year. But I think it is such a timely book, and it's one that I definitely invite you guys to read. For those who are joining us online, the link to Amazon is actually with this podcast, so you guys can just click on it from there to get your own copy. And, Shane, where's the best place for them to stay connected with you?
Please reach out to me on Facebook under my name, Shane Etter. Etter. I'm sorry. Sometimes I say my name all run it together, Shane Etter, and they go, how do you spell it? Shane Etter, E-T-T-E-R. Please reach out to me on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter. I think those are my main ones, but although
okay.
you've been on to me to do other things, but nevertheless,
no,
I would
hey,
love
look.
To hear from anyone, and if they said they heard this show today, I would love to know that when they reach out to me.
Awesome. Well, definitely, we've already tagged Shane on Twitter and Facebook with the link to this conversation. Shane, always a pleasure, man. I love you and so glad that we had a chance to catch up on the air, and congratulations on World of Rage.
Cyrus, again, you are the best. I am so grateful for you because, well, like I say, a conversation between me and you and millions would scare me to death if it were not for you. You are so calming, and I am grateful for that. Thank you to your listeners, and I appreciate
you
all very much.
And we appreciate you and your gift as well, Shane. And we thank you, our audience, for tuning in, both our radio audience in Mississippi as well as our online audience around the world. We do appreciate all of you, including, I should mention, and I forgot to tell Shane this, we're now on Spotify as well. So welcome to our Spotify listeners as well. Thank you guys so much for being on with us. For those who may have came in late and missed part of it, if you guys are tuning in live, don't worry. The podcast is posted all over social media. So you guys can just click on that link to be able, of course, to hear the entire conversation. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. Let's make today amazing. Take care.